on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Great to have you for another episode as we get ready for Super Bowl weekend. And I realize not everybody's going to be either a 49ers fan or a Chiefs fan, whatever. Maybe you've got exhaustion from Kansas City going to the Super Bowl and having success, and so you want them to lose. But really, I think everybody, once the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people were cheering for the Lions because the Lions were about to become America's team, right? Because here's what happens in sports. We hate teams and organizations or whatever that continually have success. For the most part, we've got no real reason why we dislike certain organizations or certain teams or whatever outside of they're having success and we are tired of it, right? The New England Patriots were that for a long time. I mean, you could look at the Yankees in baseball. We hate that they are able to pay so much luxury tax and put together the teams that they do and get to the playoffs more times than not. Obviously, here recently, it's been a little bit different for the Yankees, but we hate teams who keep having success. And we have no real reason to outside of they win and we're tired of it, right? And so I think a lot of people were cheering for Detroit to get to the Super Bowl because if the Lions had made the Super Bowl, a lot of America, if you're not a Chiefs fan, you would have been like, we want something different. We're cheering for the Lions. That's what sports are. That's what we do in sport. And that's fine. So we'll see what happens. But if you're listening to this podcast, then you have a connection to a player playing for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in Jack Cochran. And I'll tell you what, we get a chance to talk to Bob Nielsen coming up in the show a little bit about Jack and you know, pulling his red shirt partway through the season in his first year, 2018. But I'm telling you, this is pretty special. How many players go into the NFL and in their first two seasons they make an appearance in the Super Bowl? And I'm not just talking about an appearance, you're a practice squad member, and you are a guy who, you know, isn't going to dress, but you're going to get the ring if the team wins. This is somebody actually competing. And it is awesome to see Jack get that opportunity. So when you look at Jack Cochran and what he has been able to do, I mean, he mostly plays special teams. Right? He does. He mostly plays special teams. But this year he has played a little bit on defense. And regardless, we all know how special teams can be very, very critical to what you're doing. So I'm really excited to see Jack get out there and compete again. And I know that, you know, a lot of people, there will be some people, I can almost promise you, there will be some people who are out there that say, I hope Jack Cochran does well, and I hope the Chiefs lose. And that's okay. You know by now, if you know me, you know I'm a big Chiefs fan. I'm pulling for Jack and the Chiefs. Jack and the Chiefs, let's go. Let's have success. Let's win. Let's see what happens. So I'm excited for all of that, and we'll see what happens. But you can remember back, if you follow Coyote football long enough, you can remember back to 2017 when Jack Cochran had not played a snap, and then we're at Illinois State. It's a top 25 team, and there had been some injuries that year, and out of necessity, they basically had to throw Jack into the mix. And that was a tough decision because when you look at it, you're already in game 7 of the season. So Jack got a little bit limited that year, but because of the COVID thing, he did get to have that extra year. So it kind of balances out a little bit. But obviously what Jack turned into was pretty incredible. A walk-on to the University of South Dakota, now a Super Bowl champion, and a guy who's trying to be a part of a back-to-back Super Bowl run. Like, they've gone to, what is this, the fourth appearance in 5 years for the Chiefs to the Super Bowl? They're trying to win a fourth one overall, but a third one in that stretch, and trying to go back-to-back. Jack is a part of that. So we'll see how things go there, but big special teams player. Certainly has played some defense when the Chiefs have needed it, and he has stepped in when he's had to. So I'm really excited to see how Jack does on Sunday and just see how things go for him. And I'm, as a Chiefs fan, I'm hoping, you know, Jack's been very, very close. I'm hoping for that blocked punt from Jack Cochran that flips momentum in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm pulling for. All right, so we'll see how things go there. It's Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 58. And hopefully you can enjoy it if you're interested. I don't know. Some people are going to watch the Super Bowl for Jack Cochran. Others will watch for Taylor Swift. And very few will watch for the actual football game, right? See what happens on Super Bowl Sunday. Coming up in the show, we'll talk more about Jack Cochran with Bob Nielsen. With Coach Nielsen, we'll touch on just about everything. He's got a new wide receivers coach. The schedule is out. We wrap up the signing class for the most part for this year. We'll talk about, you know, some of the guys on campus, some of that stuff. Myles Harden preparing for the NFL draft. We touch on a lot of things coming up with head football coach Bob Nielsen. But first, softball opens its season this weekend, and I had a chance to catch up with Gabby Moser, who is a softball player at USD, playing in her final season this year for the Coyotes. She had a chance to help out with National Girl and Women in Sports Day Clinic, which was held on February 3rd. We had a chance to catch up and talk about that clinic and her final year of Coyote softball. Wednesday of this week was officially National Girls and Women in Sports Day, an opportunity to celebrate and recognize the influence of sports participation for women and girls all over, which has gone, which has obviously increased over the last 50 years and has been great. And we're joined now by Gabby Moser, who's a softball player, and they're getting ready to start their season. Gabby, you had a chance to be a part of the clinic last week, and we really invited a lot of young girls into the Dakota Dome to kind of get a taste, if you will, of different sports and some of that. What was that experience like for you?
Honestly, it was just a really cool opportunity. I mean, I've played a lot of sports throughout my life, and softball being the most prevalent, but I actually got the opportunity to volunteer to be someone who takes the kids around to each station. And so going around to each station was really cool because I got to see all the girls I know from other sports doing their thing, teaching these younger kids like what they love and they're passionate about, and then also getting to see my own teammates share their passion with these younger girls. And the best part was just seeing the smiles on their faces and just like enjoying, like whether they were nervous to try something new or not, we made them feel welcome and they loved just being with everyone.
Feels kind of weird because you're obviously in the later stages of your college career, but could you feel some flashbacks to when younger Gabby was looking up to other people?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think this year has been like the biggest year I've recognized that, just being a senior, is just that little girl. Like, I'm playing for her this year, and like that's where I'm at. I'm living the dream, and no matter how I do statistically, it's amazing opportunity just to be here. And a lot of that just has to do with the people and all the different experiences I've got to have. I'm so grateful for it, and I just know that she wouldn't believe where I'm at today.
When you look at last Saturday in that clinic, and you talked about the smiles on the faces, how genuine was it just to see those young girls get the opportunity to experience something, even if they maybe weren't good at it, but they tried it anyways?
It was really cool, honestly. One of the things with my group that it was so funny is every station, once they got done, they were so ready to go on to the next one. They're like, can we run over there? Like, can we go over to the next one? And I was like, you know what? Sure. Like, if you're that excited that you want to run and sprint to the next station, awesome. I'm like, let's do it. Because you just don't want to hold them back at that age. Like, it's only so long where kids are like not afraid to play and not afraid to just go and try things. And I think that you have to really embrace that when they love it, and I think that's something too that I really can learn from too, just being a player, is just continue to like embrace that sport and take that like childlike playing into it.
you're at the age where you were able to grow up and play sports, and mm-hmm. you know, you never really had to think twice about that. And yeah. of course, not everybody had that opportunity. And you look back at the idea of Title IX, and I know it can get very confusing for people.
Yeah.
But do you ever think about Title IX and how important that was so many years ago to even give you a chance to what you're doing today?
Oh yeah, I mean, honestly, it's something I probably didn't think about as much till I got to college, but it's so important. And I just think not necessarily in the aspect of all the fine details it gets into. Everyone has their own opinions about it, but it also just makes me think about my sisters, and I live in a house full of girls, and that's the thing too, is I want the best for them, and I want to leave a legacy, not just for myself, but for them, and show them that they can be strong and powerful women, and you can be really good at a sport and be athletic and do all these things and be strong and still be looked at as a woman, and it's okay. And when I have kids someday, I'm gonna teach them the same thing, that I was never that kid that was afraid to go and take on the boys. I was playing football with them at recess, and I'm like, I want my kids to feel the same way, because they can do anything they set their mind to.
A house full of girls sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, my dad's definitely busy. my mom played softball in college, so did my older sister, and it's kind of just been a tradition from there, and so it's been quite an adventure, but, I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way, so.
You're headed south to warmer weather to open up the season, or at least you hope mm-hmm. it's warmer weather right down in Georgia this weekend to open up the season. What's the anticipation right now around this team mm-hmm. as you get ready to open up the season?
Honestly, this year has just been awesome. I've been on a lot of teams throughout my years, and just like in college especially too, and this is definitely the best team culture I've been a part of. I could talk to every single one of these girls about anything and just have a great conversation with them, and also just I just know they have my back when I'm out there, and I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing that we can be there for one another. And when it comes down to it, wins and losses and all that, it matters, but the how we stick together and how we get through that is what is going to depend on who is at the top at the end of the season. So if we can keep that team culture and just keep ourselves together like we are now, I know that we're going to go far. And I've been telling all of them, I'm like, I've had a great feeling since I've gotten to be with this team this year, and I'm not sure what it is, but I just know there's going to be some good things that are going to happen. So
what has the practice been like? Obviously a lot of indoor practice, but mm-hmm. trying to get ready to go play outside at a lot of these venues, yeah. What's that challenge like?
Definitely different. So obviously we haven't been outside as much as we'd like to. The snow has kind of prevented us, but Wagner, as soon as that snow melted, he was like, all right, we got to go outside. We got to see the sun, get some vitamin D, in his words, and get ready for it. So it's always kind of an adjustment. We've taken fly balls in the parking lot and throwing drills out there, but we could sit here and complain about it and make it, but this is what we have. This is our opportunity to do that. And honestly, I think it's the biggest form of adversity that, like, something we could face. It's going to make seem playing on a softball field easy, because we've been taking ground balls and fly balls in the parking lot for the last week and a half now. So and I can tell you the teams down in Georgia haven't been doing that. So
does when you talk about getting outside finally with the sun shining a little bit here mm-hmm. and there, do they make the team go out and scoop the snow off so then it can melt the rest of it and dry up, or how do they handle that?
So honestly, we just kind of go where the snow is not. We've gotten lucky here with a little bit warmer days, but the one day I thought it was kind of crazy. We are taking fly balls in the parking lot, and there was cars kind of going through, and so us outfielders would always start screaming car to our coach just to let her know that somebody was coming, so then she wouldn't hit the ball. And so it's definitely a unique experience, but we make it work, and I just have full faith they're preparing us in the best way. It's not always the easiest thing, but easy is not the way you get better. So
earlier this week, the Summit League softball poll, the preseason poll, was released, and South Dakota was slated number 3 behind South Dakota State, who has been kind of one of the teams to beat, really, in the league, in Omaha. How'd you feel about that poll? What was your reaction to where your team was put?
I feel like the poll compared to last year's teams was definitely accurate. I think that this team has the complete possibility to be at the top. there's so much potential here. And as I said before earlier, that I'm so excited to work with these girls and just to go to battle with them. I mean, I'm so thankful for the opportunity, and I know they are too. We have a lot of new girls, and sometimes that can be looked as not a great thing. But to me, I think that's exactly what we needed. And just with their coaching staff changes and all these other things, it's just been awesome. So the pole is one of those things. It's very much based off of the past, but we're ready to go into the future and make something new happen.
You yourself and Clara were named players to watch in the Summit League, and you're obviously a senior. You've been around this team a mm-hmm. little bit. What does that recognition mean to you as you get ready to start the season?
It means a lot, honestly, for different reasons. I would say if I was in high school, it would mean a lot to me, just being like, wow, I'm a good player and all these things. But it more so reflects for me just the work I've put in, not just in college, but all the way up into here, and just the dreams that I've, this dream that I've been wanting to do. I mean, one of the biggest lessons I've probably learned through college is just basically that it's not all about stats and numbers and all that. It's so much more about the experiences you get. And so having those honors is definitely a confidence boost, and it makes me feel great going into the season. But having the support of my teammates, and that was something towards the last year too, like just having those people that you need, that's why I was able to have success. And so I can't wait to see how I can continue to grow and do well this year, just being in an even better environment.
You were a Summit League second team player last season, recognized on the second team. Feeling like a first team recognition's coming this year for you. Last year you had a game, if I remember right, you had 7 RBIs in a game. And yeah. I know things like that really stand out to you, because you don't get the opportunity to drive in that many runs mm-hmm. in a single game too often. What do you remember about that and how cool that was?
Well, the craziest thing was it was the very first tournament of the season. And so I think it was just, it was such a surreal experience. I didn't even really know how I did, honestly, till the end of the day, and I kind of was told. And just a very cool experience. I think the first time that I've gotten Athlete of the Week, and that was super, super cool for me. A goal that I just had been wanting just once in my college career wanted, and like, so it's just another thing. Like, everybody wants that, and it was just such a very cool thing to be able to do and go through. And a good just start to the season, and made me feel like I, no matter what, like I could just keep going from there.
I know you've done it all in your career. You've hit home runs, you've hit triples, you've hit doubles. What do you like the most? You like a double that's just a sure thing almost, and legging out a triple, or you like that home run where you could just trot around the bases?
If you ask high school me, I'd definitely say the home runs, but I've become a double girl in college. Like, doubles score runs, and I know home runs do too, but a double is a team's at bat, and the more I can get of those, the more people I score that are on base. And every once in a while, if I can turn one of those into a home run, then that's awesome. But it's been great to see kind of how the player I am. I've grown and changed, and I love being a team player for everybody. And obviously always want those home runs, and that's another thing. Like, you get stronger and more powerful to do those, but they come as they go, and so we'll just see how it goes.
On base is on base, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
When you look at this season compared to last season, I know you talked about culture, but what has changed? What has gotten better with this group as an entirety that in your mind gives South Dakota a chance to be better than it was last year?
Definitely just definitely be more open with each other. Our coaches have definitely gotten it more into the aspect of not just, developing our game as athletes physically, but we really have gotten to the mental side more and learned how to like max out our mindset. We've been working with Doc Woodman, and he's worked with a lot of athletes, and he's been doing so much with us. And I really think it's in helping us visualize a different area of the game that doesn't get looked at very much, and something that really needs to be have more time spent on. I know for me, it's been a very important aspect in the past, just like dealing with all the mental like struggles that go with the game and also just life, and you don't want to bring that into that. And so having people there and learning how each of us can support each other, that's been the biggest thing, because instead of having one or two people there I feel like are supporting me when I'm up to bat or I'm in that field, I know everyone has my back, and like no matter what happens, like it, there's going to be some ups and there's going to be some downs, but we're going to get through it.
When you look at your approach to the game, and obviously you've played a lot of outfield,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
What goes through your mind each pitch, each at bat, as you're in the field and trying to prepare yourself to hopefully make a great play?
Yeah. So I've never really been a defense girl, honestly. I love hitting. That's my thing. But I know I'm too good of a player not to be out there. And so I've just kind of been put wherever the coach wants me. So that meant infield, that meant outfield. And it's been outfield for the last few years, and that's been awesome. But I really developed a love and a respect for outfield. It takes, honestly, a lot of focus to be able to be out there and lock in on every pitch, because you never know which pitch could be the one that's rocketed to you have to make a play on. And when that happens, your pitcher's counting on you, your infield's counting on you, everyone's counting on you to make that play, because you're the last resort compared to everybody. And so even though that you might not get as many chances as everyone else, you almost have to make it count more. And so I really have liked that. I'm definitely a person, I'm always in my head, very like love the like mental side of the game, always analyzing things, but it's definitely given me a chance to really keep things simple and just take things one pitch at a time and slow my mind down. And so I've really liked that aspect.
What's more exciting for you, a diving catch or an outfield assist where you get to throw somebody out?
Oh man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Honestly, it probably depends on the situation, but either way, if either one of those happened, that'd be pretty awesome. I know there's been a couple times where I've gotten someone out on a throw, and that's pretty cool, but I don't know, diving catches don't happen as often either too, and so when that happens, I had a couple of those last year, and I don't know, it's just the best time, honestly, is if you get a diving play with two outs and you're running in and your whole team just comes and is like freaking out and giving you hugs and like so happy and stuff. Like, so I'd probably have to go with that one. A two out diving catch, is there's nothing like no other.
So. You got to put it all together now, the diving catch and throw someone
out
in the same, the same play.
I'll put it on my checklist.
How about at bat? You talk about really being, you know, player who appreciates the opportunity to, mm-hmm. to hit the ball. What goes through your mind in their plate appearance?
So there's just like so much that goes into hitting, and as it seems like such a simple thing, and in reality it really is, but if you want to do it well, and you're going to do anything well, you really have to get down and think about what your plan is going through. For me, it's always been keeping it simple. I like to analyze my swing. I like to go through all that stuff, but I do all that on my own. If I go in and do extra work, sometimes in practice with specific drills, but when it comes to a game, once I'm in that box, my mind's clear. All I'm seeing is that pitcher, and I'm walking in. And one thing that we've learned this year that's really been helping me is looking more at the pitcher and how she's reacting too, because I think sometimes we think about, okay, I'm feeling a little nervous or feeling a little hype or something, that's how am I feeling. But if you look at that pitcher, she, and those facial expressions too, sometimes they're feeling the exact same way you are. And if you see that, then it almost gives you that sense of confidence, like, well, I already got her beat. I'm like, I can do this. And so that's been helping me too, just to know, like, she's human, I'm human, but I'm going to come out top on this situation.
Have you had any conversations with Mother Nature to allow your team to play on your home field a little bit more this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping for it and stuff. It's just taking it one thing at a time. I mean, I'm liking the weather that's warming up here. Hopefully that's going to help us out and get through it. Night Guard can always use a little water, so we're not too worried about that. But we're just hoping it's not sticking around too long for when we want to actually play on it. So
I know you're excited for the season opener this weekend. If you've looked at the schedule, are there any games or trips that you have circled that excite you?
So yeah, obviously this weekend's gonna be awesome. Just getting to play these super good teams, and we have a very tough schedule, but it's gonna be very rewarding too. I think we can learn a lot, and going into conference, that's all you want is to learn as much as you can before you get into what really matters. But I would say, honestly, the one I'm most excited for is Texas. My whole family is going to come down, and especially like my older sister and her husband. And so it's pretty cool to get to have my whole family there supporting me, and especially in my last year, just because they have done everything for me throughout these years in my whole life. And I can't imagine a better way just to like get to play a few games, having them in the stands, and just either way, win or lose, they're going to be there for me.
All right, we're excited to see how you and the team do this weekend and all season long. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Gabby Mosier. She is, of course, a softball player at the University of South Dakota. Coyotes opening their season this weekend in Athens, Georgia, and scheduled to play a total of 5 games in the Red and Black Showcase. So we'll keep an eye on how Gabby does. We'll also keep an eye, of course, on the entire team and how their season goes this year. Hopefully they can get themselves some opportunities at home this year. You just never know with the weather in this region. Had a chance this week to chat with head football coach Bob Nielsen. We got caught up on everything from the schedule release to signing day, the second version of signing day, to Jack Cochran and Chris Streveler and Miles Harden, and the new wide receivers coach as well. So great conversation with head football coach Bob Nielsen.
Coach, it's been a couple of months or so since the season ended, and a year that saw the most wins at the FCS level, and obviously first ever trip to the quarterfinals. I know the goals are bigger than that, but did you get a chance to kind of reflect and just appreciate what this season was?
Not a lot of time for reflection, quite frankly. It was a great year. You head right into, you know, securing that early signing date class, and then the holidays, and the next thing you know, it's back to work in January, and our kids are here, and we're working ahead to 24. But I think the thing that 23 did is it set a standard that everybody in our program now knows is got to be the minimum, and we want to work to even greater heights, and this group is excited about that opportunity and as we head into the 24 season.
You know, that's the good and the bad of extending your season is you don't get much time to step away because of recruiting. There are some dead periods, but did you and the staff at least get a little bit of time to step away from football? Because I know everybody needs that at some point.
Yeah, the NCAA calendar actually provides a dead period there around the holidays for a couple of weeks, and I know everybody took advantage of that. I certainly did. We had Christmas a few days with my entire family. Actually went down to Florida, first time that we'd really done that, and was good time, and I know the rest of our staff enjoyed that opportunity to be with their families as well.
This week you got closer to the wrapping up signing day, if you will, now that there's two separate periods for that. And in December, you signed a large class, and you were very open about that, you know, that was going to be most of the class. There would be a couple in the February signing class, and that's what we saw. We saw the addition of two other players, Julius Ellens and Rulian Stewart. What do you like about those guys?
Both really good young men outstanding students and really good football players. You know, we added positions there that we either didn't take in the early signing period with the running back, or we needed one more with the case of RJ there as a defensive back. And you know, there might be another couple of freshmen that we bring in that, you know, would be invited walk-ons that'll be a part of that class. But really excited about that 21-22 guys that we've got, you know, coming in that group. I think it's a really good freshman group that's going to hit the ground running within our program. And then, you know, what a lot of people realize, too, is that in addition, we added a group of mid-year transfers. And those guys will be with us in the spring. You know, we're trying to use the transfer portal to make sure that we've got the right number of experienced guys within our position groups as our younger guys develop. And it's been a good recipe for success for us, and we'll continue doing that.
You've got to have the mixture of transfers and of course building blocks with the young players. As you look ahead in this type of era that we're in now in football with the transfer portal and how the windows open, do you leave positions in this potential recruiting class open for possible summer changes, or how do you approach that with maybe not necessarily needing players, but leaving that option open?
Yeah, we've kept a couple of scholarship spots open. We do plan to add another transfer or two to our program here as we go through the spring. You know, there is a lot of volatility in rosters now, and so you have to be prepared to be able to deal with this, and that's why the development of guys in your program is still the most important piece, and that's what we'll be doing this spring, you know, developing those guys through the waiting room, through those 15 days of spring practice, and have them ready to go by the fall.
A lot of these transfers get to their new school right away. Sometimes we see early enrollees in the incoming freshman class. Are some of these guys on campus right now?
Yeah, all the transfers are. And then we had one freshman, QJ Moore, the linebacker from Florida, who did enroll early. And so he's with us already training, which is good. You know, with the losses of Mogensen and Hillis and John Jonas, to have another person working in that position group for the spring will help us from a depth standpoint, along with the transfers that we brought in.
Speaking of new additions, you've got a new wide receivers coach. What made Matt Vitstum a great addition to your staff?
Well, a quality person, experienced coach. You know, he brings not just experience as being an offensive position coach and having worked with a variety of positions, wide receivers, quarterbacks, even running backs at one time. But he's also been an offensive coordinator, was the offensive coordinator for the last 3 years at Grand Valley State, a program that even though they're a Division II program, I think most people in the country are familiar with because of their level of success that they've had there. And so he brings a great deal of experience and knowledge. He's an outstanding teacher, and a guy that is really going to benefit our staff and our program and that wide receiver position group.
We'll get back to some more thoughts on the Coyotes in a moment, but this weekend a lot of Coyote fans will be watching the Super Bowl and watching for number 43 to see what Jack Cochran can do. And obviously he's played a lot of special teams. He's got out there a little bit defensively, but he's back in the Super Bowl in his second straight year. How cool is that?
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, I'm excited for Jack. It's funny you say that because I was just talking to my 86-year-old mother who's going to watch Super Bowl this weekend just to watch for number 43 coming in the game in a Chiefs uniform. Jack, outstanding individual. You know, he's one of those guys that represents what's really good about college athletics, a guy that developed, spent his entire time at one place, took advantage of every opportunity, an outstanding student, a guy that graduated with a 4.0 grade point average, could have gone anywhere in the country, graduate school, professional school standpoint. But had the opportunity to keep playing and has taken full advantage of that, just like we knew Jack would. And he has had a chance to play quite a bit this year, you know, not just on special teams, but in some games quite a bit on defense. And chance to put two Super Bowl rings in your on your finger in your first 2 years in the NFL. There aren't many people that can say that they've done that or even had the opportunity to do that.
I know some people have shared his signing day photo from way back in 2017, and I had to laugh when I saw it pop up because, Jack just looks like the young, high school kid coming into South Dakota. I'd say he's changed a little bit since then.
Yeah, he's put on some weight. He's bigger, stronger, faster, definitely more mature looking. Yeah, high school, people forget, high school athlete-wise, he wasn't a linebacker. He played safety, quarterback, wide receiver, so he developed himself into an outstanding college and now NFL linebacker.
At some point, every one of these kids, they get their opportunity, and Jack's opportunity came partway through the year, his freshman season. I believe it was Illinois State. I think it was out of necessity, kind of had to pull his red shirt and throw him into the action. What do you remember about that particular game and just, looking over to Jack and saying, you got to go now?
Well, it was not an easy decision. We really wanted to redshirt Jack. You know, he was coming along. We got into a situation where, from a depth standpoint, we needed to play him. And, you know, sometimes that's a difficult decision, not just for you as a coaching staff, but a difficult decision for the young man. And Jack was all about whatever he needed to do to help the team. And so he went in there and did his best. Yeah, there were some growing pains for sure, but that experience allowed him to build for the next year and in the next year. And fortunately, because of the COVID thing, you know, you end up being able to pick up that extra year that otherwise he would have been a 4-year guy. And so, you know, that helped him too with that one more additional year to be able to prepare himself for the NFL level.
He also just missed the NCAA's redshirt rule, which I think was either the year after that, maybe, or 2 years. Certainly it was close, which selfishly we would have loved to have him for one more year. But I think for him, he'd look back and say, I think it's worked out okay.
Yeah, it's worked out just fine for him. And that's just the kind of guy he is. You know, we've had a lot of them around here, but Jack certainly at the top of the list of guys that, you know, I've taken advantage of every opportunity. He was always one of those guys that was the first in the weight room, the first on the practice field, the last off, the last out. He made himself the individual that he is.
You know, when Jack started his career, just like everybody, you never know what they're going to turn out to be. And obviously, you look back at Jack's career now, and he ended up in the top 10 in tackles in Coyote football history, and just you know, put himself in a really good position with a lot of good people. What allowed Jack to develop so well in this program?
Number one, he's got tremendous passion for the game. You know, he loves game of football. You can see that in the way that he plays and the way that he competes. You know, he work ethic second to none. He's going to do everything that he can to improve, to get better. If there's something he doesn't feel like he's doing right, he's going to get it corrected. And just, you know, the way that he was able to balance everything, I think, you know, that's important. And that's one of the reasons why when the NFL scouts come in here, they want to know, you know, they just want to know what kind of football player he is. They want to know what kind of person he is, what kind of leader he is, what kind of student he is. And Jack checked all those boxes. Tremendous student, you know, outstanding leader in our program. And those are the intangible things that carry a guy to success.
You know, it's always great to see these guys get their opportunities, and you never cheer for injuries. But as we talked about earlier, he played some defensive snaps this year, and unfortunately for the Chiefs, that was because of some injuries that they sustained. But our fans really noticed that Jack was playing quite a bit defensively for a couple of games. It's special to see him get that opportunity. How important is that to get those defensive snaps, not just be the special teams guy?
Well, anytime you can put quality snaps at the NFL level on film, it's important because, you know, every year you got to get a new contract. And, you know, Jack's going to be in one of those situations. And, you know, hopefully that career continues with the Chiefs. I think it's a great spot for him. And they definitely appreciate what he's doing for the team. But, you know, if that's not the case, then, you know, the experience and all those snaps that he's got from this year will be snaps that other teams are going to look at and evaluate and, you know, hopefully present additional opportunities if needed, you know, down the road. And that's the NFL. I talked to Chris Streveler just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we talked about that aspect of the NFL, and sometimes that's the hard part to deal with because it ends up being so much of a business. And you know, Chris, and now excited for him, you know, he's going to go back, it looks like, and play in Canada. And to him, you know, that was important. He just wanted to play and to have that kind of opportunity. And I know Jack's the same way. Jack wants to play. He wants to play. I'm sure, you know, playing special teams is one thing, but I know he wants to play defense too.
You know, at the Missouri game, there's a photo of you that surfaced with Jack Cochran on one side of you, Chris Streveler on the other. Surprised that thing's not blown up in your office in a canvas print. But I know those guys have meant a great deal to you. You've been a big part of their careers, and they really appreciate the University of South Dakota and their opportunities that they got. In less than a two-week span, you see Streveler re-sign a contract into the CFL, and now Jack playing in the Super Bowl. There has to be a little bit of pride in that for you.
Oh, without question. You know, it's great to see the young men that you've had the opportunity to be a part of their careers be successful. And, you know, whether it's in the NFL, or other working world's professional life, you know, I get texts and notes from guys that are presidents of companies or own their own company and talk about how that football experience made a difference for them. And I think, you know, both with the guys that you just talked about, with Chris and Jack, you're exactly right. You know, those guys are tremendously appreciative of the opportunities that the University of South Dakota gave them and understand full well that without those opportunities, they wouldn't be where they're at.
Well, I know your goal is always to prepare guys for that next opportunity in both life and football. And the next opportunity really in football, as far as the draft is concerned, Miles Harden. He's recently wrapped up play in the East-West Shrine Game. He'll head to the Combine here, in April, getting ready for the draft, hoping he can get selected. Miles is another guy who really appreciates his opportunity here, and I know he battled some injuries, but when he was out there, everybody had to take note where Miles Harden is, what his main him so special and gives him a chance to have a career at the next level?
Well, number one, he's a unique athlete. You know, he's got that physical size, speed, that ability to change direction that makes him an outstanding football player. You know, he's passionate about the game, too. I think that's one of the things that we've got a lot of guys in our program and really passionate about football and love the game and love improving at the game. And, it was great to see him in the All-Star game and see him match up against guys from Oklahoma and Illinois. I remember specifically watching a few of those reps and seeing that happen. And I thought he played really well. And I know his training is going really well. Really excited to see him at the Combine. We, you know, haven't had, since I've been here, haven't had an athlete that's been invited to the Combine. So it'll be nice to see a South Dakota guy being scrolled across ESPN there as he competes there at the Combine.
You know, another guy I should mention, Brendan Webb, had a heck of a year this year, and he's been gaining some traction on social media about his ability, and not a guy who's going to go to the Combine, but certainly a guy you feel like will get an opportunity to try to impress guys and people in camp.
Yeah, we got a number of guys. Brendan Webb, Brock Mogensen, obviously is training right now. Stephen Hillis, Isaac Urbis are both training here. And so we have our own pro day here later in March. And I know last count, I think it was pretty close. We were getting close to pretty much having every team represented coming for our pro day here later in March.
Yeah, pretty cool to see that. And I know that helps recruiting when you say we're giving you the opportunity. We can't get you to the next level, but we can give you the guys to watch you to get there.
Yeah.
Coach, a couple more things. Winter conditioning is obviously been underway. When does spring practice ramp up and kind of what does that look like here for your program the next couple of months?
Well, we'll have a winter conditioning and strength training routine up until spring break. And then after we come back from spring break, which we get back to class on the 18th, we give our guys a couple days to get back oriented. And then we'll start practice on the 21st, which is a Thursday. We pretty much go on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule with a couple other days thrown in there, and then we got our spring game plan for April 20th. So basically about a month to get those 15 practices in. It'll be an important time. We've got some positions where some younger guys are going to need to be at the forefront by the fall, and those repetitions will be really important for them. You're always looking to build depth as well as experience in your position groups through the spring. And there'll be a few, you know, new wrinkles, both offensively and defensively, that we'll get a chance to take a look at in the spring as well.
the long-awaited schedule finally made its appearance here recently. We knew a lot of that schedule. It had been made public with the conference and the Wisconsin game and some of those, but obviously a couple of things stood out. Portland State has replaced Lamar on the schedule, and the opener, a Division II opponent in Northern State, coming down from Aberdeen.
Yeah, let me start with the Portland State game. So we were scheduled to go back and play Lamar. Lamar had some issues as these conferences continued to change at the FCS level and asked if we would be willing to kick that return game back a couple of years. And so in order to make that work, we had to make kind of a three-way switch. And so Portland State needed a game. And so we're going out to Portland State to play another Big Sky opponent. With it being a 12-game year, one of the unique things in the calendar in FCS is about every 5 or 6 years you get an opportunity to play 12 games, and we want to maximize that and play 12 games. And we wanted to make sure if we're going to play 12 games, at least 6 of those needed to be at home. And so we've been trying to find a home opener for quite a while, and we've investigated a lot of Division I opportunities. We had some possibilities that we had looked at. Unfortunately, they kept falling through. And so we were really struggling trying to identify that game one opponent and ensure for our fans that it was going to be a home game. And then out of the blue, the NCAA in January changed a rule which opened the window for NCAA Division II teams to play on that opening weekend, because the rule prior to that had been that they had to wait till the second weekend in September to be able to play. And so now all of a sudden there's teams that are trying to use that date, because there's a lot of Division II teams that are struggling filling their schedule too, that had interest in possibly opening that schedule. So as we felt that we've exhausted all of our Division I opportunities, we looked at the possibility of bringing a Division II team in here, Northern State, from in the state of South Dakota, became a really good option. We were able to secure that game. And, you know, there's several other teams that within this 12-game season, you know, that have had to fill their schedule with a Division II opponent. So we're not the only ones that are doing that. At the same time, I think it's going to be a great opener. We're going to play it on Thursday night. A team that's going to be, have an opportunity to bring a lot of fans of their own because of the proximity to the University of South Dakota.
Well, a Thursday night in August, I know a lot of fans, they don't want to skip through spring and summer, but they'll be ready for that Thursday night in August. Coach, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy hopefully a little bit of break at some point, and then I know you'll be after it for spring ball as well. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That's Bob Nielsen. He is the head football coach at the University of South Dakota. Coyotes coming off of their best season at the FCS level. Most wins, quarterfinal playoff appearance, home quarterfinal game for that matter, and now trying to build off of that into next year and see if they can have success and turn it back over, do it again, and we'll see what happens for the Coyote football team. All right, time now to take a look at what's going on in Coyote athletics. Of course, men's and women's basketball is off this weekend. This is their single game week, so they played on Thursday night. They're both off on Saturday, and then they will be back in action every Thursday and Saturday for the remainder of the season. Softball begins play Friday in the Red and Black Showcase. They'll take on both Purdue and Georgia. Georgia's ranked number 6 in the country. Track and field will compete. They have split squads. They've got athletes in Seattle, Washington, Brookings, and Fayetteville, Arkansas as well. So track and field very, very busy this weekend. They've got athletes scattered about everywhere. Softball continues on Saturday in Athens, Georgia. They'll play Murray State, and they're also scheduled to take on Purdue for a second time. Track and field continues at their respective meets, and then women's tennis is in action at Minnesota on Saturday afternoon as well. Sunday, softball is scheduled for a 5th game. They'll take on Murray State for a second time on Sunday morning before they head back to the back to South Dakota, and then you know they turn around and go right back to Atlanta next weekend for another event in the Panther Invitational. So we'll keep an eye on all of that as well. Men's and women's basketball, I mentioned, is off this weekend. They're back in action on Thursday. Coyote women are home next week for two games. They'll host Omaha at 6 o'clock on Thursday. And then on Saturday, they will host St. Thomas, and that is also a 6 p.m. tip-off time on Saturday. The men's team will play 7 o'clock at Omaha on Thursday, and then, of course, 7 o'clock at St. Thomas on Saturday night as well. So a lot of busy time, and we'll see these two teams trying to gain some traction, trying to build up as they get ready for the Summit League tournament and closing in on that, try to position themselves to, work in out of the, not be in the Friday matchup, work into a Saturday or Sunday contest, whatever that's going to be. So we'll see what happens for Coyote men's and women's basketball, but trying to gain momentum here in the second half of the Summit League schedule. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. A big thank you to Bob Nielsen and Gabby Mosher taking the time to join us for the podcast episode this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend. Go Jack Cochran. Go Chiefs. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.